I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. This is a practical show done by a practical guy. That's me. Well, if you've been listening and you're kind of up to date on the podcast, I know some of you are behind, but by the time you get to this, you will know that I just returned recently from the Pacific Northwest, from Squim, Washington, up near Seattle. And Ben Branham and I flew up there, and we taught Beyond Concealed Carry. We had almost 30 students up there. It was a great class. And Glenn Tate and Pow showed up. So Glenn Tate, the author of the book series 299 Days, he was there. By the way, you should get his new book. Check out my Amazon store. Go to handgunworld.com and click the Amazon store link. And if you want to buy his newest book, please buy it from my Amazon store through my affiliate link. And Pow, the Korean gunfighter, he was there. Boy, he's good. Pow's an operator. He's trained. I could tell real quickly. Pow was very well trained. And Pow did a great job of helping us instruct. We had a large group of people, so he did a great job. So Pow, if you're listening, thank you very much. So while we were up there, we had a chance to interview Joe, the range owner, once again. Now, I had Joe on this show several months ago, and that topic was about his Expedition rifle, a beautiful AR-15 with a lot of Daniel Defense parts that he's produced. However, it's not just a custom-built AR-15. There's a lot that comes with it, and you might want to go back and listen to that episode called Expedition Rifle. So go back and listen to that. That's pretty educational. We also had Steve, who is the builder of the rifle. He joined us up at the office in the classroom. What a beautiful place. Fort Discovery is a beautiful, beautiful place. I mean, it's like a camp for shooters. It's pretty cool. It's like a summer camp for shooters. I mean, you know, the bunkhouse accommodations was great. I mean, they even had Wi-Fi in the bunkhouse, which was cool. And the ranges that they have there, the classroom, the office, it's just a great facility, and I would love to have a place. I'd love to have regular access. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, and if you live up in the Seattle and the Olympic Peninsula area, excuse me, my voice is a little hoarse today. If you live up in that area, you can also get memberships to Fort Discovery. So you might want to listen carefully to the interview because we talk about that. All right, so here is Ben Branham, myself, Steve, the builder of the rifle, and also Joe, as we sat in the classroom. Now, we got off into several topics, not just the rifle, but we talked to, you know, a little bit about Fort Discovery and about shooting in general. So here you go. Enjoy. All right. Well, this is an interview that I'm real excited about. I am here with Joe. It's D'Amico, right?
Correct.
Joe D'Amico, who is the Joe Tantori from the book series 299 Days, and I'm with Steve Anderson, and these two guys do a great job of running Fort Discovery. We just did the class here. We did our Beyond Concealed Carry class yesterday. You guys have a wonderful facility.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
This place is amazing. I mean, right now we're sitting in the office, classroom, store area. The bunkhouse was awesome. The shooting bays are phenomenal. I mean, everybody here was just incredibly impressed with this facility. So anybody from the local area up here in Western Washington or Oregon, you need to come up and check this place out. So thank you for what you guys did. Thanks for hosting us.
You bet, Bob. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure having you.
Yeah, thanks. So I wanted to get you guys together. And Joe, you got an announcement to make about an event coming up, don't you?
You bet, yeah. This coming up in about 2 weeks on August the 23rd. From 1000 to 1800, we've got the Unity of Effort. And that's a celebration that we do. It's an open house here at Fort Discovery. And kind of like what you just came up here and had a class, Bob, we open it up to people that have used our range throughout the year and basically have them come out and set up static displays, meet other folks that have been here at Fort Discovery, and then it's open to the public. And so we encourage people to come out, bring their kids or families, and it's a good time to check out some really neat stack displays. Customs Border Patrol is going to bring a Blackhawk down.
Oh, man. Yeah. I wish I could be here for that.
Yeah. And we got some airlift assets with Airlift Northwest. And then we have, you know, Customs Border Patrol. The FBI is going to bring out their forensic mobile lab. And
I'd like to see that too.
Yeah, lots of things to look at and enjoy, especially if you're into supporting law enforcement, first responders, and the troops. And lots of things to do. Jumpy house, pay fine, and we've got some raffles too.
So do people have to register for it?
Yeah, we like people to come in and base so we can get an idea of how many people are coming for a head count.
Yeah.
We're expecting about 1,000 people.
Oh,
250 of those people will be first responders and their families. And so we like to, if they could either call our number 877-876-4750. And again, that number is 877-876-4750. And ask for Jen, and or you can email Jen at J-E-N at S-S, like Sam, N-W, like Nora William, HQ, like headquarters.com, and you can just send her an email letting you know if you're going to be attending and how many people would be coming.
Good. Is information about this on FortDiscoveryUSA.com also?
Yeah, I believe it is, and if not, it's on the Security Services website as well.
Okay.
Either way.
Good. Good deal. I'd love to see that Blackhawk.
I would love to see that. And it's one of the nicest Blackhawks you'll see. Yeah.
Ben, you know what? We should have scheduled this class 2 weeks later.
A week, yeah. We could have stuck around for a couple days and played with the Blackhawk.
You
think they'd give me a ride?
No.
I bet it'd be a lot more fun than the rides I had overseas. But
yeah, it might be a little bit better than those, huh?
Yeah. I just want to sit on the skid outside, feet dangling out, 100-mile-an-hour club, all the things I didn't get to do that you try to do.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a cool event.
Yeah, it really is. It's just growing every year. It gets bigger and bigger, and we have a shooting contest. We do utilize our ranges here, so we have a 22 competition by age group, and that's probably one of the when people come up to you and say, "I've never shot a gun before. I've had the best time of my life," here, and they get to enjoy the food and see all the stuff. It's really rewarding.
Yeah, that's cool. Good. So, folks that are listening to this, check that out. Come up to this event. Wish I could be here for that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the other buzz here. A couple of months ago, Joe, you and I did an interview about the Expedition rifle. And we have Steve Anderson here, who actually built it. Right, Steve?
Yeah.
He builds the rifle. One of the students from our class decided to own one of these. And you're going to be building it for him, I understand, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about the Expedition rifle, Steve. Tell people why they should own one of these.
He's looking at me. He's looking at me because I'm the sales guy.
Okay. You know what?
He's the rally point guy. I'm more of the
guy. Then talk about the technical. The technical benefits.
What parts you got in there?
What carrier group
you got in there and why?
Yeah, well, I mean, we started out with CNC machined uppers and lowers. They're BMC machined out of 70, 75 billet aluminum.
So and they're here, made here in Oregon, right?
Washington.
Well, yeah. Right down the street?
Yeah, the uppers actually being machined just outside of Portland. Our lowers being machined, probably about 15 minutes away from here. We're utilizing a Daniel Defense barrel with a 1.7 twist, M4 profile. We went with a 1.7 because you can actually use a wider array of grain bolts.
Of ammo,
accuracy.
Yep.
Same with the bolt carrier group. They're really dependable. Our low receiver's machine with the trigger guard milled in, so it still has the winter loop for guys with left fingers. We made a little bit of modification to the magazine release as well.
Yeah, I like this. I like this trigger guard here. That's cool.
No notch on the bottom to get Glock thumb or Glock knuckle from here.
Yeah, it doesn't rub on your finger at all.
Yeah, I hate that. On my AR, I got that notch and it tears up my finger.
So we also made a modification to the magazine release. It's looped out a little bit more aggressively for people with either longer fingers or glove fingers. Makes it a little bit easier to manipulate that magazine release. Went with the ALG ACT trigger. It's about the same pull as a mil-spec, but it breaks a lot cleaner, so it feels smoother. It's easier to shoot. Went with a CQD sling mount. So it's a single point for either side. So if you're lefty or righty, you can utilize it. So went with all Magpul furniture. That's the handguards and the stock and the grip. Same with the backup sight. We're using a little bit different charging handle, so it's easier for people to manipulate with one hand for those guys that are doing the current training. And, of course, the whole thing comes with the the two P-Mags and the cleaning kit. And
well, coming with two P-Mags, I think that's a big deal, too.
Yeah, because most rifles only come with one.
Yeah, so. And it's usually one USGI aluminum mag.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're shipping ours with the two, and as well as the cleaning kit. We're using the cable-style cleaning kit because it's a little bit better instead of the old chintzy little cleaning rods that tend to bend and break and strip out. So, plus, it's MOLLE attachable, so if you want to wear it on your belt or strap it on your backpack, you can do that. It does come with a challenge coin with a matching serial number. Which is kind of cool, and of course they both give you access to the rally point, which Joe can obviously hit on. A little bit more about the rifle itself is we did machine in finger grooves in the front of the magazine well for the shooters that actually grip it there, so you get more of a positive purchase on the rifle while you're shooting.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, the whole lower.
Oh yeah, there, right there. You're talking.
Looks bigger than a normal one.
It is flared. We've got a little bit more aggressive ramping in there, so that it makes reloading a little bit easier and smoother. You don't have that flat spot like you would the traditional mil-spec rifles. We did make the stops for the selector a little bit more aggressive, so you can actually feel them, without looking. So
these are the grooves you're talking about right here, right?
Yeah, correct, right there. Yep.
And then the upper is even a little fatter, a little bigger than a general one, right?
It is. It's a little bit wider. Not too terribly. It's not like not real noticeable.
Yeah, just barely thing. Noticeable. Not.
Yeah.
If you knew what you're looking for, you see it. If not, you wouldn't notice.
Correct. And the biggest modification on that is probably the shell deflector is a lot more aggressive. When you start getting a weak ejector and stuff on your bulk carrier group, this keeps it, from kicking back at you, which some of the old style mil-spec ones, you can still kick back at an angle. So.
Yeah, we got to. I think we weighed this thing too, Steve, didn't we? And weren't we surprised we were?
Yeah, we were a third of a pound lighter than a Colt 6920.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you get a.
So you did all that and made it lighter.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's funny, is that wasn't really the intention. Yeah. It happened that way, which is just another added benefit. So, I mean, a third of a pound is a lot of weight when you start talking about all the gear you're strapping on.
Every little bit is a lot of weight.
Trust me, I know.
Yeah, Ben knows a little bit about that.
Being overseas, they just keep giving you more stuff to put on your rifle. Well, you got to have this for that. You got to have this for that, and you got a 15-pound rifle and a 50-pound ruck, and then you're just. Oh, where am I going to put ammo and water now?
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just horrible. So, yeah, I'm definitely getting into the smaller, lighter rifles. We got to fire that one, or your number four, right?
Yeah, the prototype, yeah.
Your prototype yesterday that you failed to clean in 6,000 rounds so far?
It's not up 6,000, but it's a lot. I did give it a wipe down.
Really? You haven't cleaned that?
No, I've not cleaned it. All I've done is wipe it down and reloop.
That thing ran like a Swiss watch yesterday.
Yeah. But yeah, the rifle ran great, and unfortunately we didn't get to have a lot of ammo, but I got to dump a mag through it, and it was that reset was real nice on the trigger, and I could feel the lighter trigger as I was firing fast, and the weight didn't affect it or anything. It was really, you guys got a nice, you set up with that the bolt carrier group and the buffer. You can tell when some guys put it together that it's not exactly balanced and stuff, and you get the weird, I don't know, it's like a double recoil impulse or something. You can feel where it comes back and starts to go, and it goes a little faster.
Yep.
Yours was super smooth, so really applaud you on putting all that together right and getting the right balances in there. That's really good.
Thank you.
Good. So, Joe, they can get this rifle from you how?
Yeah, they can give us a call at the number 877-876-4750. And again, that number is 877-876-4750. They can go to FortDiscoveryUSA.com, shoot us an email. This month we're gonna do something a little special this month, and I'm gonna make this announcement on your show, Bob. So for the rest of this month in August, in honor of the Vancouver expedition, we're going to lower our price from 1961 to 1792 for and being the year that
cool.
That's when Vancouver landed here at Fort Discovery in 1792. So for the rest of the month of August, we're going to honor that. That deal.
That's great. Thanks, Joe. And on the side of the rifle, it says Fort Discovery established 1792 also.
That's correct.
So they'll pay $1,792 for the rifle. Tell them what they're going to get besides the rifle.
Yeah, they get, as Steve just explained, they get a couple of mags. They get a lock seal bag that you can bury the rifle in. It's waterproof. You've got a checklist there that Steve's personally filled out.
on each one of the items that are in the box. The box itself is really a piece of art in my mind. This wooden crate, it's got wooden handles on it and burn marks and stuff that we've put on it in honor of the expedition rifle and then the coin. And the coin has the matching serial number on the side, so each gun comes with one of those. And if you show up at our facility in time of need or disaster, and I always tell people that need may be personal.
Yeah.
But they could certainly either show the coin and or the coin or the rifle at the gate, and they're welcome to come into the facility and rally with the rest of us. If you punch in on those coordinates on that coin and or on the lower receiver, there's grid coordinates, GPS coordinates, that if you were to punch that into your GPS, that'll take you to out in front of the main headquarters of Fort Discovery, where there is a bronze one, it's about a foot in diameter, plaque that says the rally point on it. And it's out in where we have our helicopter landing zone, and that's where the rally point would take place if there's ever a need to be there.
Yeah, this is the first time. I mean, I remember you described the coin when we did the interview over the phone, but now I get a chance to look at it. This is cool.
You bet. Yeah, and we got I got one of those for you, Bob. So I got a coin for you.
Well, thank you. I get a coin.
Yeah,
all right. Hey, I like it. I'll get all the way up here from Texas somehow.
There you go.
It'll be a long ride, but I'll get it. I mean, this is neat. You know, you can't get an AR-15 rifle like this anywhere. It's unique. And from what I understand, they also get to sort of pick their own serial number within a certain range, right?
They don't necessarily get to pick the specific number, but I mean, we're still within the first 100. So
okay.
Yeah, we've got about 50 left on that first 100. So you can get a low serial number, and you know which low serial number firearms most guys that know that collect, you know they're going to appreciate in value. So
well, and it's unique. You wouldn't, you know, you could say you've got something that only less than 100 people in the world have.
Right, and that's just it. You know, you tell any of your listeners right now, you know, if to go and look at their armory or look at their closet, you know, and they're going to see serial numbers, you know, 5-6 deep. And this is a chance right now for a lot of your listeners to get this rifle in two digits. And yep. and if they do, we're work with people. We had somebody, in fact, your guy yesterday,
one of our students.
Yeah, he wanted one. He wanted a certain number, and we had it available. So and that's the difference between us and maybe a large manufacturer. You could pick up the phone and talk to me and or Steve.
Right.
Where if you try to call one of the major manufacturers, good luck.
Well, here you can pick up the phone and talk to the guy building the rifle.
That's correct.
Well, and then he's putting them together. He's the only one that's putting it together. And if you go to the Bushmaster's factory, you got 15 people standing in line, and they're just cramming trigger groups in. That's all they do every day.
Yep.
And then another guy's stripping the bolt on your pistol grip as he's putting it in. You know, he doesn't care. So Steve gets to sit here and build every one from the ground up. Every little piece goes in. He starts with the strip upper and lower and puts it all together, torques it down right. A lot of pride in the work. You can see it in the rifle that we got sitting right in front of us. It's somebody's rifle. Thank you, whoever's rifle that is, that we get to look at it.
This was sold, right?
That's sold, yeah.
Yeah. And even the prototype that was the fit and finish on the prototype, I was really impressed with. When he handed it to me, and I thought it was a rifle that somehow he was sneaking back out and then he was letting us shoot. Then he told me it was the prototype, and I'm looking at it, and it was just, it looked like one of the brand new rifles that had just been used a little bit. So you did an incredible job putting it together, and I think that's a big thin part. You know, I mean, some of the top-end 1911 makers, that's their big thing. You know, Les Baer and stuff is like, well, you have one gunsmith that puts it together. So that's worth the price of the rifle right there. And you got a nice collector's item that actually shoots.
Yes.
So, Ben, you shot it. I saw you shot it quite a bit. I know you shot a lot of AR-15 M4-style rifles. In your opinion, how did this shoot compare to a lot of others?
Smooth. That was the biggest thing I noticed. A lot of the M4 types that are put together, and we, Steve, I'm sure you've heard of this, but they call them Franken rifles. You know, somebody puts it together.
Oh, yes.
And most of them is just, you can feel that something's not right. It's not smooth. It's just not, when it's cycling, it just, there's a hang up there. Or you can feel when the bolt actually turns and locks in, or when it unlocks.
And you didn't feel any of that, huh?
This one was super smooth, and the trigger that you had in there that's set and adjusted, when I was single firing it, it was just kind of normal trigger. But then when I got on it and actually went through 10 or 15 rounds in just rapid fire, the reset was awesome, and then the trigger just shined on that, and then how smooth the rifle was. Now, the next step is I want to get an optic on it and lay behind it at 100 or 200 yards and see what it will actually do. I'm sure with that barrel on there and the tolerances you're doing.
We actually had one of our customers who purchased took his rifle down to Oregon and just for fun figured, well, let's see if I can engage these targets 750 yards with an EOTech and a magnifier. And not only was he hitting it just the one time, but it was first round, then second round. Then
really? At 750?
You know, in his defense, he's also a special ops guy that's retired and so on. So he's got some training, but it's still a long distance.
He ran the calculator to see how far the round's dropping. Click.
No, he said he just figured, you know what, I'll press off a round and maybe play a little bit of Kentucky win. As he said, when it hit and dropped, he was stunned. So he did it again and again.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was really impressed.
Yeah. Wow. That's 700. Whoa. Yeah. See, my problem is I'm not good enough to shoot at 750 yards.
I can build them all day long, but
yeah, exactly. I can't do that.
And that really is nowadays. I mean, everybody keeps talking about minute of angle, and that's just something we can measure. I like the minute of man thing. How far will the rifle actually engage a human target out to?
And when you're talking about a defensive or a rifle like that, that's what you need to know.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Can the rifle engage out to 700 yards, you know? Military says 550, but I've pushed other rifles farther than that too. So that's a really cool thing. You get out there at 750 and make hits. That's I remember doing that with my AR in open sights one time and hitting steel. So I was hitting 1 out of 10. I hit it twice and I'm like, that was good enough.
Smile and walk away.
Quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I could only do 1 in 10 with the open sights on my AR, but that was pretty amazing. So that's saying something for a 16-inch barrel to shoot that well.
So people have until the end of August, Joe. Now, this is going to come out a week from today. So today's it's going to come out on the 17th of August. So people hurry up and call 877-876-4750. Because they're going to save $200, almost $200.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit less than $200 I'll save, which is pretty good.
That's right.
I mean, I think that's a heck of a deal. For what you get for $1,800 is very good.
Yeah, and if we got a couple of these for some of your listeners that are around the Puget Sound. We got a couple of them sitting down at Sports Co. In Fife. And then we've got one at Linwood Guns in Linwood. And then one over in Swim at Brian's Sporting Goods right now.
Okay.
So we're slowly but surely getting them out there, and it's been a lot of fun.
Good, good. Steve, how long does it take you to, when people order it, how long does it take you to build it and get it shipped out?
All depends on parts availability. sometimes it can be just a couple of days, sometimes a couple of weeks. So.
If you have all the parts, how long does it take you to put one together?
To put one together? Mm-hmm. Less than 2 hours.
Really?
And that's assembled and test fired.
Really?
So how many rounds do you test fire just to make sure one?
I test fire with about 10. I don't believe in the 2 and 3 because 2 and 3 doesn't really tell you anything. It just tells you that it's going to go click and bang. I want to make sure it's cycling. I check the bolt hold open and everything. So cool. You can't run an assembly line like that with a rifle that people are going to depend on. You have to test it.
Yeah. See, and what I think is cool about this is, like, and Ben alluded to this earlier, when you buy this, you're getting a custom-built rifle that someone took a lot of care in putting it together, ordering the right parts, making sure that it fires properly and has the results that he wants. You're not really getting an assembly line rifle.
That's right.
Yeah. You're getting a custom rifle. So that's cool. Good. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Fort Discovery. This facility is fantastic. I mean, I wasn't quite sure what to expect, Joe. You know, the bunkhouse is awesome. You even got Wi-Fi in there.
Right.
I mean, that's cool, man. You know,
which you kind of need out here because there's really not cell phone service. So
right.
We really appreciate the Wi-Fi.
Right.
Well, if you stay on the upper range with one leg up in your, you know,
oh, yeah.
Well, I made a comment. This is like a camp for shooters.
Yes.
It's like a fancy camp for shooters.
It is. I all the time I get people that come to me and they're up here either training with the military or some organization, and they come up and they say, you know what, this has really been enjoyable. We've been outside, away from the admin. We're out here learning and running and gunning, and I feel like I'm in Boy Scout camp, you know, just because of the wood. You look at the interior. I mean, most classrooms would have You know, they'd want to do it. The real inexpensive look would be sheetrock, and you know, you'd have you know, some kind of flooring. But here you got planks, you got, you know, 10-inch wooden planks that run throughout the building.
Wood tables,
cedars, you know, siding with plywood, wood windows, and that's what we wanted. We wanted the look and feel of the Fort Discovery experience, which you can see is related to our box.
Yeah,
you know, it's just transitioned to the box. It's the same feel. And when you come out here and you stay in the bunkhouse and the shower room, the same thing. Shower rooms are great. And
I mean, you got a great shower room, great, you know, bathroom facilities and everything, and it was awesome. You know, and I put pictures on my Facebook page of the classroom and your store and stuff like that.
Oh, great.
So if people want to see what it is you're talking about, well, they can see pictures of it.
Even the classroom. First thing I walk in and I see the rifle rack on the wall with an M1 Grand, an M1 Carbine, and an old M16. And I'm just like, well, this is my place. I'm happy here.
Yeah.
So, and I get, are those functioning rifles or are they just show?
Those are functioning rifles.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
So we can take them off the shelf and go shoot them.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah. I was afraid to touch one yesterday. I came in, I saw it, and I was like, oh, no.
I'm going to go inspect that M1 Grand when this is over.
Better leave it alone. I was afraid you had an alarm system on it, so I'm going to pull it off. Somebody's going to come running in. But.
And I want to tell people who are close to Western Washington to swim, you also have a pretty good selection of guns in here, too, in your store.
You bet.
You got a rifle selection over there that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. We talk about that. We probably got one of the best rifle selections that we know about in, you know, two or three counties, and it's diverse. And we just got in. What were those rifles that we just got in? Those 308s.
Oh, the Knights Armament.
We just got some. Yeah. We just got a couple of Knights Armaments 308s, and so a wide selection of and lots of ammo. We got a whole bunch. You can see it right behind me.
Boxes and boxes of it.
Yeah, cases of it.
We're sitting on cases of ammo right now.
So yeah, we got that, and there is range memberships out here for people that are interested that live close by.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, live in the vicinity. They can come out, and I think it's $10 a month. To be involved here.
Get out here for $10 a month.
That's all. $10 a month.
Right.
Yeah, it's $120 a year, and it's
that's a steal.
Yeah.
And it's half of that for retired military and law enforcement. So.
Oh man.
Yeah. So if you live in this area, come out, get a range membership, and even if you only use it once or twice a year, it's probably worth your $120.
Even if you live within a couple of hours of here, it's worth
it. Right. Yeah. And what we do, which we're a little bit different than most ranges, is that they call in, actually schedule it. You get it for an hour, and the entire range
is yours.
You don't share it with somebody you don't know that's down a table from you.
Yeah.
It makes you feel uneasy.
Yeah.
So when you come here and they, you know, you call in and say, hey, is the range open on the 23rd, range one from 1 to 2, and they'll say yay or nay, and if it's open, then it's yours.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Good.
Yeah. And so it's a, we think it's a really unique facility, and we're hopeful that anybody that's listened can come out here and check it out on the 23rd August when we have our open house.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, come see. Well, that's the thing, is if people come to the open house, you get to see the whole facility.
That's correct.
And check it out. Now, for people, there's a lot of people in the greater Seattle area that listen. How far are we from Seattle?
We're about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, about 2 hours. So,
it's easy to get out here.
Yeah, if you're coming from Seattle, you know, take the Seattle Bainbridge ferry, and then we're about an hour from Bainbridge Island.
So. And you're what, a couple hours from Olympia?
Yeah, a couple hours from Olympia, probably two and a half maybe, and not far really from, you know, Everett in that vicinity if you take the Kingston. Ferry, Edmonds Kingston Ferry, dump you over into Kingston, which is only going to be about 45 minutes from here. So.
Yeah, that open house is cool.
Oh, well, here's a secret, too. We've been here all weekend, and it's been super quiet. I think we're the only shooters on the range, so if you guys want the membership, get out here. It seems like you'd have some good range time on your own.
Right.
Just be quick on it, and you really have pick up a lot of stuff. So.
Yeah, we got all this steel. You guys got to see the steel.
Yeah, you got some good steel targets.
Yeah, we got a ton of steel.
Got a lot of good.
This piece of steel, too. Who came up with this idea? I think this is awesome. It's a three-legged piece that all comes apart, folds flat, and then it's got steel gongs that hang from it.
That's right. Ian came up with that with Thunder Technologies. And that's his design. And he actually, we bought two of them, or he gave me one. I can't remember if he gave me one to try out on the range, which you guys were shooting at
for the last day, and then we have this one here for sale, and I think that's $250, and it comes with any four of the different size plates, I think, come with it, and he shot it with .50 caliber or something. He was telling me way out, and it was high rated steel. I don't know what it's called, 550.
So it can be shot with ARs and it can be shot with
right.
Those.
Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is. I saw this yesterday when it came in the classroom, and I looked at it, and I was like, well. And then I looked at it a little closer. I'm like, it breaks down flat. All the gongs come off. You can put different sizes on there. They just hang. They twist and hang. There's no pieces to break. The gongs are one piece. There's no welds on them anywhere. You guys have to see this and believe it. So you guys got to get a picture up somewhere. I took a picture. I'll get it up on the website.
Okay. You took a picture of it?
Yeah, really.
Well, before we leave, I'll take a picture of it and I'll put it on Facebook too.
I got to figure out how I can get one shipped to me.
Yeah, that probably costs an arm and a leg.
Well, the shipping would cost more than the Target would.
You carry on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's true. I might be able to. They don't weigh the carry on. Right. Stick it out the top.
I don't think that'll fit in the overhead compartment.
Then. No.
I don't know. Won't fit under your seat.
If I duct tape it together, you think they'll just let me carry it on?
No, I don't think so.
Because it probably weighs about 50, 60 pounds. It looks pretty heavy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great idea. I just the slots, how it comes in and everything. Genius.
Yeah.
You guys got some geniuses working for you building stuff. So
yeah,
that's
do.
Awesome.
Joel, I'm curious. Got a question. When did you build this place?
I think this was built, somebody had asked me that last night, and I was thinking it was around 2005.
Did you build it?
Yes.
Okay.
I designed the whole thing, had some help from our uncle and a couple other guys helped me out, but essentially this was drawn out on a napkin. You know, the whole thing, I think the lights, I my wife always says, well, where'd you come up with these lights? And I think of Hogan's Heroes. I mean, the barracks.
Hey, I used to love that show.
That's awesome.
Hogan's Heroes was awesome.
You know, they always had the lights hanging in there. And I was thinking, I think that's where it came from. So.
And you guys are full high-tech, too. Here, I see all the computer work and
big
monitor.
Flat screen monitor.
You got it.
And the projector and everything. So it's really rustic feeling with the monitors and the free stuff. And then if you look up at the top, you see the huge model of a C-130 hiding up there.
Yeah.
And it was funny to sit in here. I walked in here and I actually noticed it. And then I watched all our students. And at different times, they'd be like, hey. And they'd tap the guy next to them during the class. They'd all be pointing up. And I was giving the class the first time when somebody's going pointing up and looking. I'm like, oh, they just noticed that. So I'm watching the rest of the room. It's kind of fun. Just the amount of detail that you put into this place is incredible like that.
Yeah, it kind of grows. It's, you know, in our wall here with all the different units that have come here, it's kind of a sacred wall. And we've actually lost some guys that have been on that wall in the wars. So that kind of continues to grow and add a flavor to the to the classroom, and there's a lot of unique things that have been left here, and some good and some bad.
Well, tell people.
You said yesterday that you were out with a metal detector sometime trying to find historical pieces.
Yeah, for what I do out here, sometimes for fun is I'll go out and actually, I have the ship's. I bought the ship's log from the HMS Discovery, and so I'll read the daily entries and stuff where they came in, and I know exactly where they landed, and so based on their writings, and so I'll go around and I've actually found some musket balls. I found some some old jewelry, just stuff that probably it dates back to that 1792 stuff, but I got stuff that dates all the way up to you know a landing craft that sank down here that was had a bunch of ships during in Discovery Bay during the wartime, and so there's all kinds of artifacts, and I have them in this cabinet here for people to see and take a look at, and so it's like going back in time.
That's really cool, and you're quite the history buff too. When we talk to you about all the stuff that happened around here, so if you guys just want history, come out and hang out with Joe, and you can get the history of the whole area. It's really cool.
You bet.
So you built it in 2005.
Yeah, and we've been here since 1988. But did we operate it out of some, you know, we before, I think we had a couple of GP medium tents and operated out of the building, the main headquarter building we had there. And then, so, you know, over time, we just kind of add to it, and we've just kind of we felt right where we are right now with the classroom size of 30 to 50 people that can sit in here, with the number of that can sleep in the bunkhouse and the restroom facility. It's just a nice fit. It's not like it's overbuilt.
No, it's good. I never been to a shooting range. They had a bunkhouse where I could sleep. Spend the night there. That's great.
Get right up and go shoot in the morning.
Get right up and walk about 200 yards max.
Not even that.
Not even that. 150 yards to the first range.
Oh, no, less than that.
No, is it less than that?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably like, and from the bunkhouse, it's probably like 30.
That's
30
what we did this morning. We did that this morning. We woke up and we were debating, should we go to breakfast or should we go shoot? And he told us we couldn't shoot till 8 o'clock. So we're sitting out there at 7:55 and we're watching our watch going, faster, faster. And at 8 o'clock, time to shoot. You know, the first round went down.
8:05, we were shooting.
Good.
We had a blast. We had to get rid of all the ammo. You can't fly back with ammo. So.
Give it to me. I can use it.
There's always somebody that will use it. But,
Steve will always take real good care of ammo.
Yeah.
There's the fun way to unload your gun, and then there's the admin way. So
there you go.
So just to remind people that get the rifle. People from out of state, you're going to have to ship it to their FFL, I'm sure, right?
That's correct.
Yep. And now people from that live in Washington, they can come over here and pick it up, right?
That's right. Yeah, anybody, or Oregon, if they want to, you know, make a day trip up and come up here and pick up a rifle, sure. And if they were to call and say, you know, Joe, I'm coming up there to pick up a rifle and I'm coming from Spokane, you know, we'd let them stay if nothing going on here, they can stay the night in the bunkhouse and pick up the rifle and head out the next
day. So someone from Oregon can come up here and buy a rifle from you?
You know, I'm not sure.
We can sell rifles and shotguns. We just can't sell handguns.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You can sell rifles and shotguns to somebody from out of state. That's correct. Right. Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, it's handguns.
And then there's certain states where obviously we can't sell that rifle.
Sorry,
California.
Not Jersey. California legal or New Jersey legal or
New York.
Right.
You guys are kind of out of luck.
Yeah, the communist republics won't allow them.
Yeah. Colorado won't let you have the magazine.
Colorado, you can ship it with a 10-round magazine or 15-round magazine, right?
You know, we
I
might
don't
be able
it's
to
10 or 15.
Yeah. It's 15 in Colorado.
15, yeah.
Yeah, Jen Scott is works in our admin, and she knows everything. I mean, there's so many laws and so many things. I mean, we just have to like defer to her most of the time.
What am I? And I'm sure you get an order from somewhere. You're like Delaware, and they're like, let us look that up real quick.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can ship this to you. Because that's the trick, right? You got to be. It's got to be legal where you're selling it and legal where they live, right?
Yeah.
Great. Even if they come out here, if they drove up from California to pick it up, they still got to be legal where they live. So that's a no-go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one thing I found out working for a gun shop. I'm like, that's just incredible.
Well, and that's the beauty of having to ship it to a gun shop because they're the first person that's going to know that they can take it or they can't.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the...
Well, they better know.
Yeah. Right.
That could be a big no-no.
Yeah.
Good. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This was great. And we'll be back.
Oh, yeah, good.
This whole place was incredible. You guys, Steve, out in the range helping us out, being a safety officer.
Thank you.
Had an incredible time. And I'm ready to come back. Can we come back next week?
By the way, you know what? Doing this the first week in August we made a great decision. Your weather here is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah.
It's
a little bit of a hidden secret about, you know, SQUIM and out here at Fort Discovery with the weather. I think we get about 19 inches a year here.
That's all?
Or it's 29 in Seattle. That's right.
Really?
Yeah, we're in a banana belt, the SQUIM banana belt here, so we get a lot of good weather up here.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, so it doesn't rain here as much as it does in Seattle.
No. That's
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous and warm this weekend, and us from Texas, I was going, like, this is really nice. And some of the other guys are like, I don't know, it's like 78. It's starting to get warm. I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah, no, 78's not warm.
It was pushing 80, and they started to complain about hot. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I should get some water. I didn't even drink water all day because I'm used to, you know, you see it pouring off your body, and you go, oh, yeah, I got to drink.
As we speak, it's probably 101 or 102 at home.
Perfect.
And I woke
up. Steve's from Texas. You knew that. Yeah. Didn't
oh. I didn't know you were from Texas.
Yeah, I'm from Dallas.
Oh, you're from Dallas. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I had a wake
so
up
you know,
in Virginia.
You know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I miss it.
You miss it?
Especially in the wintertime.
Well, yeah. In the winter, but you don't miss it now when it's 102.
It depends. I mean, I like the summers here and I like the weather, but it makes it kind of difficult in the Jeep when you hit the shade because it gets kind of cold. So then I really miss Texas where it feels like you got a blow dryer going on, you're going down the highway.
Guys, thanks a lot.
You bet.
I appreciate
Bob,
it.
Bob, it's my pleasure.
Thank my you. Pleasure. Okay, I want to take this time to introduce to you, for all of you coffee lovers, those of you who like guns and coffee, I want to introduce you to Caliber Coffee. Caliber Coffee. My wife and I have both been drinking Caliber Coffee for the last several weeks. A listener I'm pretty sure he's the founder or at least one of the heads over there at Caliber Coffee. And he introduced it to me. He sent me a sample of the 9mm medium roast. And you're going to like it. And I want to introduce you to it. They've got 22 caliber light roast, 9mm medium roast, 45 caliber medium roast, 357 magnum dark roast, and 50 caliber dark roast, which I think is pretty cool. So check it out. You can go to calibercoffee.net, and you can also buy Caliber Coffee at my Amazon store. Go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store link, and search for Caliber Coffee. Good stuff. Like I said, I think we finished two bags of the 9mm medium roast. My wife was a little bit skeptical at first, but she loves it. So order your Caliber Coffee through Handgun World Amazon store.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and 22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls May 16th and 17th, 2015 from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person, or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time. And folks, you know, I just want to let you know that these people donate their time freely to this show. So if you can support them in any way, and by the way, that's a great deal on that rifle from now to the end of this month, end of August. You're saving almost $200, so that rifle price is $1,792, is I'm pretty sure what Joe said in that interview. So it's a great rifle. One of the students in our class decided to make the investment in that rifle. So if you're looking for a real good AR-15 that's very unique, that you really can't find anywhere else, check that out. Now, I want to get to a voicemail. Damien from Dallas. Hadn't heard from him in a while. He called in. Here you go. Listen to this voicemail.
Hello, Bob. This is Damien from Dallas. Just wanted to chime in real quick. I got done with podcast number 267, I believe. I'm a little behind. I think I got three. I'm three behind. Just been busy. But a good discussion with John Hathaway, great podcast, but I wanted to have a little fun. At one point you asked John to explain probable and versus possible. And he did a great job like he always does, but I want to have a little fun here. Okay, Bob, so just please understand we're having fun. But I got a much faster way for John Hathaway to explain the difference between possible and probable. Okay, so here we go. Is it possible that you will forget to disengage your safety on a 1911? Well, yeah, it's possible. But if you're well trained with it, it may not be that probable, although it can happen, right? So it's possible, but it, with a lot of training, not as probable. But, like John said, that you should, if something is 90% or whatever, if it is probable, we ought to prepare for it. So here's the thing. Because it's probable that you could forget to disengage the safety, you should get a Glock, because a Glock, it is never possible for you to forget to disengage the safety, nor is it probable. I just had a little fun, but great podcast. Hey, Bob, I'm also going to get back with you on that training you're doing in Dallas in November timeframe, I believe. And I think there's 80, 90% chance I'm going to be able to do that, and I'll let you know this week. So take care, buddy. Have a good one.
That's funny, Damien. I know you were. I know you're having a little bit of fun. That was funny. Good stuff there. We're just joking, folks. Just joking. I think let's have a little bit of fun with this. But John Hathaway, if you're listening, we just thought we would have a little bit of fun with you. Okay. So Damien, good job, folks. If you want to call in a voicemail, I think next week. Well, I got some more voicemails that I'm gonna hold off till next week. So I'd like to have a good collection of voicemails. That number is 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727 if you'd like to call in a voicemail, or go to handgunworld.com and just click the Call Me button, and you'll be able to easily call in a voicemail that way as well. Hey, for all of you Dallas area listeners, don't forget, November 8th, Ben and I are teaching pistol fighting dynamics, the art of making the first hit. That's a little bit different than Beyond Concealed Carry. It's a little bit more advanced. Pistol fighting dynamics, the art of making the first hit and also subsequent hits. So come join us November 8th, Saturday, November 8th in Dallas at Quail Creek. And you'll see, it's the same range that we've been using up there. You will see, if you go to handgunworld.com, you'll see the sign-up link for that. Don't forget about my Northern California class, Ben's AR rifle class. Actually, any rifle will do if you want to bring an AK, or if you want to bring even a Ruger 10/22 or a Mini 14 or some kind of semi-automatic rifle, and you want to bring it, even an SKS, whatever. We'll teach you how to run it. So come on over to that class October 11th. I'll be in Northern California October 18th. And, of course, as you heard, the Sioux Falls, South Dakota, I will be up there. Ben and I both will be up there. And we're going to be teaming up with Paul Lathrop. That's not till next May 2015. Okay, folks, with all that said, thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember, the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.